I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. Haiti is a place that's seen more than its share of human hardship over the years. That's why this next story is so surprising. It's about an effort to help, not the people of Haiti, at least not directly, but rather an unloved creature found only on Hispaniola, the island that Haiti shares with the Dominican Republic. It's a kind of iguana. Amy Bracken has our story.
Pierre Richard Sanon and Tignot Louis are scratching around in the sand near Haiti's south coast, just over the border from the Dominican Republic. They're local youth conservation workers, and they're pointing out the nesting spot of a Rhycord's iguana. The mother buries her eggs here, Sanon says, and after 3 months, the little baby iguanas emerge from the earth. The babies would be impressive looking, with gray-green armor, spikes along their backs, and menacing claws. As adults, they could grow to be 3 feet long. The Rhycord's iguana lives only on Hispaniola, and even here you're not likely to see one. It's critically endangered on the whole island, and it was thought to be extinct here in Haiti until a nest was found right here 8 years ago. Here is a stretch of hilly terrain of sand and rock in the town of Anse-Pitre, overlooking the Caribbean Sea. As we walk, Sanon and Louis point out hidden caves, birds, tiny iridescent lizards, and shrubby trees and cacti bearing fruit they call iguana candy. Many of these were planted by the two young men themselves as part of a reforestation program designed to protect what it turns out could be a local population of up to 500 Rhycord's iguanas. And the iguanas may face greater chance of survival thanks to this woman.
I was working as an emergency veterinarian, treating dogs and cats with Gucci collars and in the Prada bag.
That's Masani Aksime, a young Haitian-American woman from Manhattan.
And then I received an email from Ernst Rupp, who actually discovered the subpopulation of iguanas here, inviting me to work in this community where there's no electricity. And so I did.
Aksime had worked with iguanas in a zoo and had been interested in wildlife work. But she says the real draw was the opportunity to do something positive for a country she still considered home. Aksime landed a grant from a foundation and began recruiting volunteers like Louis and Sanon to patrol the area, plant trees, and speak with local residents about threats like hunting the iguana for meat and cutting trees for charcoal. She also convinced local politicians to set aside almost 20 square miles of protected iguana habitat. And she had eager collaborators in a conservation organization across the border in the Dominican Republic. Aksime says that was remarkable given how bad relations have gotten between the two neighbors.
They haven't been willing to see a border. They've been willing to see that the species actually don't have a border and they need to survive, and that's it.
In a country like Haiti, these accomplishments on behalf of a lizard are pretty impressive, but they hardly guarantee long-term success. And the challenges are huge. From unrelenting poverty and superstition about reptiles to distrust of NGOs and Haiti's political chaos. Aksime says what they need most is a national law protecting the iguana. But the government in Port-au-Prince is barely functioning, and similar dysfunction locally makes it worse. She was close to convincing the mayor of Anse-Pitre to push the cause in the capital, but then the mayor was ousted.
And then 4 months later had another, and he came in. And he said, well, I don't know anything about your work. There's nothing in the office that shows that you've been working here. And I've been bringing documents and holding meetings and workshops for years.
Aksime regrouped and seems to have made progress with the town's new interim mayor. Mayor Michel-Ange Molon says he supports national protection for the iguana, but he also thinks a new law can only go so far. You have to look at the feasibility, the mayor says. If you say, I'm going to arrest anyone who cuts trees, but today there are people cutting trees to survive, how can I give them a way to survive without cutting trees? But the mayor believes Aksime's efforts have helped improve public understanding of the need to protect the iguana and its habitat. Aksime says the iguana can help restore the local forest by spreading and fertilizing seeds through its scat. She also hopes it could foster ecotourism here. And her volunteers are ready to give training and supplies to get locals to switch from chopping trees and selling charcoal to new sources of income, like beekeeping. Still, Aksime is growing weary of the challenges.
I don't know whether or not this will work, because as we've seen, many projects have been failing in Haiti.
After working in Anse-Pitre for the better part of 7 years, the Haitian-American veterinarian is now planning to turn the iguana project over to her protégés, and hope for the best.
The only way that I think it would take hold is that if individual people have an interest in it, which I think these young people, they do. So hopefully they're stakeholders now. This is their work. I think there's a high likelihood that this could fail, but small chance that it could succeed. It's been worth a try.
For The World, Amy Bracken, On s'appelle, Haiti.